Hey, welcome to the Rookie Preacher Podcast. We are your hosts, Frank Kelly
and Joe Hoagland, and our goal is to help you preach and lead better.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Rookie Preacher Podcast. We're excited. We're going to be bringing you a how-to of how to powerfully close your next sermon. Joe, I've seen it many times where a sermon starts out really well. They build it up and then they get into the text and they do it so well. They apply it. And then they get to the end and they just almost seem as if they don't know what happened. Being in preaching courses and things like that, being able to study the text and apply the text is a huge thing, especially in Bible college. But I've seen it time and time again where pastors, for whatever reason, we don't spend enough time concentrating on not only the beginning of the sermon, which you wrote a great article on how to create an awesome introduction. I totally recommend you guys check that out if you haven't, but also how to close your sermon. I've heard it referred to as like getting the plane in the air as your introduction and then landing the plane as the conclusion. And today we want to give you how to powerfully give that conclusion in a way that will cause people to take action. So, Joe, what have you seen as far as how much time should we be spending towards our conclusion? We've got four steps, four little principles that we're going to be talking about. What is number one, and how does that relate to how much time we should be putting towards our sermon conclusion?
Right. So number one is know what you're going to say before you say it. You know, that's a good principle for the conclusion, because if you're getting to anywhere in your sermon where you should be completely without notes, as we're all probably trying to work towards that at some point, or as less notes as possible at some point, the conclusion is really where you should, leave your notes and be able to just deliver, what you prepared, as well as possible and as solidly as possible and as complete as possible. I think that in the introduction as well, should be your two points where you're really just hammering it home without, staring at your notes. That's a thing to work for the whole sermon, but definitely at those two parts. So as you're looking at, I don't know how much time you should spend or on that, just I guess how much you need to get to that point. And, we all have different, lengths of time we spend on sermon preparation. But I would say that instead of, working hard on your, I would say, the conclusion, it's something that we have a temptation to just kind of, okay, we wrote an introduction, we wrote our body, and now, okay, we're just either not going to write a conclusion, we're just going to kind of, say, okay, here's my main point, here's what I kind of talked about, and then put a little story in there and close it out. So I would say to devote a good percentage of your total sermon prep time to your conclusion, and maybe even want to start working on it before your body, because there's a temptation once you get done with your last point or whatever to say, okay, I'm done, and then I can just close this on the fly. I've done that before, definitely, where maybe I had a tough week or a long week and I'm working on my sermon and all of a sudden it's like, hey, I'm done, and I just say, okay, I can just close it on the fly. And I would say, that's definitely not the way to go. And that's something you don't want to do is closing on the fly like that. So as you're looking at,
Yeah.
So I would just say, devote a good portion of time to it and not just maybe, 10 minutes, like we have a temptation to do, I would say.
Yeah. By the way, my daughter's joining us right now on the podcast. She's awake at 5 a.m. I think with sermon, with your conclusion, for you to know what you're going to say, you know how much time you need to put towards it. I remember, beginning speech classes where some people will be giving some kind of talk, and then they'll get to the end and they'll be like, that's all I've got. So in order to know what you're going to say before you say it, you need to spend some time towards it. And only you can be the person to decide how much time that's going to be. I think there's some questions that we can ask ourselves when we're trying to craft our sermon conclusion. Why is this important? That's, if we haven't touched on that in the process of going from, you know, the biblical text to application, if we haven't touched on why this is important, if we're just assuming that people understand why it is important, we need to hit that hard in the sermon conclusion. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself on that, but I think it's so important to make sure that we are crafting a sermon conclusion that will inspire people, that will cause people to take action. So number two is state your bottom line or big idea again. And this goes towards what I was just saying as far as making sure people understand why that is important, that bottom line. Say you crafted some bottom line, maybe it rhymes or something, and it's true and it's meaningful. State that again, but craft it in a way where people will point, or they will make a connection in their mind that, okay, I like have to do this. If I don't do this, then I'm missing out on something, on God's best for me or whatever that is. Joe, what would you add to that? Number two, like I said, is state your bottom line or big idea again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's just important that also, like, when you get on to that, just as you come in your conclusion, don't just say you did a deductive sermon and you said that your main point was at the end of the introduction, and then you never came back to it during the body, and then all of a sudden you're hammering home in the conclusion. I would say, you know, try to keep that fresh during the message too, so it's not just some surprise that hits them, you know, at the conclusion. Oh yeah, that was supposed to be, you know, what I was supposed to take home today or whatever. So I would say, you know, make sure, you know, just as, you know, I hope you're hitting on, you know, the mission of the gospel in your church, you know, in a macro sense all the time. And it's not just a surprise on people that, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, spreading the gospel. I hope that, you know, in your individual sermons too, that your main point is, you know, kind of living throughout the sermon, and that people aren't going to be surprised by it just as you, you know, throw it on at the beginning and then throw it on at the end. And they're like, wait, I don't even know how that connected. So make sure it's connected to, you know, as we're talking about crafting good conclusions, you know, your conclusion has to come off the end of a good sermon too. You know, it just, if it's a good conclusion without, you know, the effective, you know, tied in, you know, body of your message, then you know, it's really not going to be a good conclusion. So the rest,
yeah,
of
if you're
as well.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're new to Rookie Preacher, you'll know, or you don't know, but I want to tell you, you'll find as you read more of our content, listen to our podcast, that we're real big on having a main point that you drive home throughout your sermon. And if you don't know what that main point is, if you don't know what the most important principle or application from the text is, then you need to do some more preparation. And it's hard work to honestly, it's so much easier to do like a 3-point sermon, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's kind of like a blog post. You can just come up with the points and then kind of expand on them, and then you're good. But, you know, we know that one thing is much easier to remember than 3 things or 5 things or 7 things. You know, the old school preachers maybe had like 14 points. I know Charles Stanley is like big on that. You know, there was one time I think he had like over 30 points to his sermon. And while that's maybe effective in his context, as I would question how effective it is that people will walk away with all of those. Obviously they may walk away with one or two, but, mm-hmm.
But why not then walk away with the one or two that you find after all your study, what's the most important, instead of just,
right,
you know, out of the 30, what they thought was the most important.
Yeah. So the big idea with this is, not only know what you're going to say, but make sure in the things that you say that you're going to point back to the big point, the big idea, the whole purpose and point of your sermon. Number three, so number one, know what you're going to say before you say it. Number two, state your bottom line or your big idea, whatever you call that, your main point again. And then number three, Joe, I think this is one of the most important things we could ever do. Vision cast about what could be. Mm-hmm. We had somebody tweet us, they retweeted the article that we're kind of using the framework for. of this. We'll link to that in the show notes. They said, I agree with all of these, and I think number three is one that we definitely don't do enough, and that was this vision cast about what could be. So why is this so important?
Yeah, so, you know, Brandon's a Cubs fan, and I'm a Pirates fan, and we're recording this on Wednesday morning, which if you're a baseball fan, you know that's the day before the big wild card game before the Cubs and Pirates. So go Pirates! You know they're gonna win. You know,
yeah, right.
Jake Arrieta is gonna get blown up for about five runs, and that's gonna be fun.
That'll be the first time all season.
But so, anyways, I had a point to that. If you look at the Cubs, it was what 1909 was your last World Series, something like that. 1911. I don't know when it was.
1907.
1907 was your last World Series. Okay, and I was born.
And that was a really good team, by the way.
Yeah. I'm sure you remember all of that. So I was born in 1992, and until 2013, I had not seen one Pirates winning season, let alone them make the playoffs. So it was big in 2013. Now it's the third straight year, and we're building on that, so that's good. But so my point is this. When Neil Huntington took over the Pirates as GM in, like, 2007, he said, you know, we're going to be a perennial contender. You know, he talked to Pirates fans about what could be, and then building to that, you know, it took a while. And, you know, with Brandon's team, with Theo Epstein, I think it's GM, you know, he came in, he said, you know, we've got, you know, the Cubs have a lot more resources than the Pirates, you know, just a bigger market and stuff. So, you know, it's a quicker process, but they build it the right way through the minor league system, through the draft, through trades and stuff like that, instead of just going and buying out expensive free agents. And Theo Epstein presented that vision to the fans. So as you're looking at that, you know, you got the baseball world, you got to present a vision to the fans. If you're in a sermon, you know, and you're closing it out, you know, tell people, hey, you know, this is where we're at, and this is where we could be, and this is how, you know, if we take this principle, we could be there, you know, quicker than maybe even you can imagine, or in your life, you know, maybe you could, you know, be a more solid family person, or a better, you know, evangelizer of the gospel by taking this step. You know, what could be this week, what could be in a month, you know, as you're building towards that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we talk, like, there's so many things we could go towards when we talk about what could be. I mean, have some fun with this. People should walk away from the sermon when you are vision casting about what could be. They should walk away excited. They should walk away just energized and encouraged that, hey, this is important. We can do this. And God, by God's grace, this idea of what could be, it could happen. And not only that, but something greater than that could happen. You know, maybe you're talking about the importance of reading your Bible even. You know, something as simple and as just elementary to our faith as reading scripture on a daily basis. You could talk about how that's going to impact your life in all areas where, you know, you're going to become a better husband because you're going to be having the Word of God in you and living and breathing inside of you, and you're going to be able to remember that you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church. You know, you could be talking about how you're going to be a better parent or a better student or a better employee or whatever it is. You can talk about what could be, and you can point your point to all kinds of different things in people's lives. And, you know, especially with the mission of the church, like if you are about to have some big ask where you're about to raise some funds for some big idea, you know, talk about what could be in that. Why is it that this is important? I think the why, if people understand the why, the what will automatically come. They'll automatically be like, yes, that makes sense. But people want to understand the why. I think, you know, maybe 40 years ago, people would go to old school Bible studies like crazy, and they would just understand the what. And I think that was one of the big, maybe the big aspects that was missing, that the why wasn't, you know, pushed home enough.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, and, you know, as you look at that, you know, there's a temptation to kind of, maybe, you know, settle a little bit. And, you know, the sermon, you know, as a minister or as a pastor and as a, you know, the people in the church, you know, there's a tendency to just settle. And if you're, you know, if you're challenging about what could be, and your conclusion of your sermon every week, you know, it's just going to give a drive to you, some motivation to you, and some motivation to your people about, you know, how we could get better, how we can spread God's word better in this community and in the world. So, yeah, that's
absolutely,
that's a very important part of the conclusion.
All right. So number one, know what you're going to say before you say it. One of the big things I like to say with that is that your congregation, the people sitting in the pews or the chairs or on the floor or whatever, they need to hear the gospel much more than your notes do. So stop staring at your notes, especially in the sermon conclusion. I don't say that to be mean. I just say that to hopefully put a fire under you. Number two, state your bottom line or your big idea again. Number three, vision cast about what could be. Number four, Joe, what is number four?
We want to challenge with action, you know, present an action that people can do, you know, and it's important to do this in the conclusion, you know, not that you can't do it other places, but, you know, as you, so many times, you know, a sermon, you know, it's got a good idea, you know, it was a good, you know, study through scripture, and there are some good stories and stuff, but I'm kind of left wondering, you know, what action am I supposed to take to get there? You know, and as you couple that with, you know, number three, vision cast, what could be, you know, you can't really present what could be to people and then not tell them how to get there. You know, that's like, if Neil Huntington would have taken over the Pirates in 2007 and said, "Hey, we're going to be in the playoffs in 5-6 years. But he had no plan to get there. He had no actions to present to the people who worked for him or anything like that. Then, you know, that would have never happened. He would have been fired and, you know, I would have never seen a winning season still for the Pirates. You know, you got to have the action, the steps to get to that vision that you're presenting in the sermon. So, you know, that's an important part of the conclusion as we look at that, because as you're closing out your sermon, you know, that's where people are left wondering, you know, okay, well, how do I need to take, you know, what you said, you know, this one sentence or this hashtag, you know, whatever, this thing you've boiled down your sermon to, and then you've given them a vision of what could be, you know, how do I get there? What do I do to get there? And I think you need to have that near the end of your sermon as you're looking at that.
Yeah, exactly. If you look at what we're doing, we're identifying the truth of the sermon in the bottom line. We are vision casting. We're talking about what could be, why it's so important. And then we're saying, here's the how. So we get to the what, the why, and then the action is the how. So if reading your Bible is really important, you craft some kind of, sticky statement from that. Then you go to, this is so important, here's why. And then here's how you do it. Here's how you get to that vision, and you apply that truth. So yeah, I wholeheartedly believe that we need to act as tour guides in our preaching and point people to where we believe God is calling them to go. And if they apply the text in some different way and they take a different action, then that's fine. But we shouldn't expect people to know exactly what to do when they're done hearing the sermon. We should make sure that we say, hey, this is what I believe God is calling us to do. Here's the truth of this passage. Here's the why it's so important. And here's the how we're going to go about doing that. Yeah. And let's see what God's going to do. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think those are good.
Yeah. So I think there's almost a tendency in our culture to say, you know, that people should just get better by osmosis with the Bible or whatever. Like, you know,
Yeah,
you know, the Ten Commandments are in our state capitol, or the Ten Commandments hanging in our school, or something like that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but but that's not going to make people better just by them, you know, sitting there. And the same thing with the sermon, you know, as you present biblical text, you know, just because you had a Bible story doesn't mean people are going to understand what it is, or what, you know, as you studied it, what you figured out, you know, maybe what's best for the church to do with that principle. So, you know, definitely that's four important steps, you know, to concluding your sermon and getting people on track to reach the vision that Jesus has for the church here on earth.
Awesome. Well, Joe, I think this was a great, great episode. I hope as a listener that you're going to take some of these principles, hopefully all four, and apply them to your next sermon, and just to make your next sermon your best sermon. And we want to help you with that. we love to offer you free resources. For really our email subscribers, they get all the free stuff before anybody else does. We have 56 weeks of free of preaching topics, and then we have two different Evernote templates that that you can plug in right to your Evernote. If you're starting to get kind of plugged into Evernote, I have an article on our website that kind of gives you a framework to work through if you're getting started with Evernote, because it's kind of like people use it for all kinds of things, but when you're getting started, you're kind of like, I don't know where to start. And so I give you that, and then we have two different templates that you'll be able to use. One is a sermon series planning template. So if you preach in series, which that's going to be, we'll probably talk about that in another podcast down the road, of the just the importance of preaching through sermon series. It will help you kind of put that all together and make sure that it's all cohesive. And then also a weekly productivity template that I use every week. So we have that stuff for you for free. You just have to subscribe. So go to rookiepreacher.com and subscribe. We'd love to also, you know, just see you subscribe to iTunes, the podcast. We're just so amazed with how many people are downloading this and listening to it. So we totally appreciate you listening to this. And we hope that today, through this podcast, it's helped you preach better. And we hope that you can apply these things and your next sermon will be your best sermon. So if you found this helpful, would you just do us a favor and leave a rating and review on iTunes? We would so, so appreciate that, because that will tell iTunes, hey, more pastors need to see this podcast. More people who are speaking in front of people need to see this podcast and hear it. So thanks again for joining us. Until next time, just continue preaching, continue leading, and boldly lead your church to where God is calling you to go.